Hi, I'm Mick McCarthy and I'm second generation Irish and very proud of it.
We're ready for a bit of verbal sparring, eh? What have you got for me this morning? What pile of have you got for me this morning? I answer questions on anything, mate. Religious, politics, health, you know, sexual problems. And if I haven't experienced them, I know somebody who has, so you know.
Some people might think that's 2 points dropped, and I say some people can f*** off.
Yeah, but I don't give a flying about and slaughtering me. I told you before, did not. It's like, if anybody's not happy, write to me at goandgetyourselffettled.com. Have you come in the red suit and the white beard today, have I? Shall I come and sit on your lap and ask?
Does your father know I'll bet?
Sorry, the keeper's a big tart doing that because there's nothing wrong with it.
I said, are you the physio? He said, no, I am the head of medicine technical. Oh, and I said to him, how wide's your door? So can you just put physiotherapist on it like everybody else used to?
And like I say, if I've lost anything, any friends, then they're lost, believe me. I am pleased on that. And I'm pleased I came off tonight, and I'm pleased I was angry, and I'm pleased I shed a few tears, and I'm pleased I kicked that coffee pot across the room. And I'm pleased I feel like I do now. Because I know the old feeling's still there. And when that goes, then if that feeling goes, I'll pack it in.
Give us your initial thoughts on McCarthy for 2 years. To be followed, no matter what.
I know.
That's no matter what, by Stephen Kenny.
Dream scenario is, of course, that we do well at the Euros, whatever it would be, and Mick walks away, probably from his point of view, goes into, enhances his credential, goes into another job. That's maybe what it would be. But I think if Mick did well at the Euros, then he would want, I would be convinced, to take the job forward, go into a World Cup. Of course he'd want to lead the side into a World Cup, which is difficult in itself anyway. We know it's difficult to get to a World Cup with the amount of places. So I just, it seems strange to me that Mick has agreed to do it, that it's only, essentially, it could be a year, couldn't it? It could be a year's job for him however it works out. So, surprised, very, very surprised at it all. Very, very surprised the way it unfolded. We spoke last weekend, we said, look, both managers would be very, very good, and all of a sudden the two names are catapulted in there and they've both got the job, essentially. And it's a difficult scenario, difficult position, I think, for both he and Kenny, I think, with this one.
Yeah.
That's the way.
How much of a dream scenario is it if, if they get to the Euros and things go very well and there's a brilliant chemistry between Mick and the players?
Yeah.
How much of a dream scenario is it then if we have to say, well, that's now ending.
Yeah.
And we're going to hope that the next man in, Stephen Kenny, is going to pick up where Mick left off. And you've got players around the time of the Euros doing the odd interview. And what will they be asked in every interview?
Well,
they'll be asked, would you like Mick to stay? And several of them will come out and say, yeah, to be honest, I would. And so the key point is this. Why, in any governance, when you're planning out strategy, would you limit your options? Like, that is the first question Don DeLeo needs to be asked here. You have, in a sport where a month is a long time, 90 minutes is a long time.
Yeah.
Look at O'Neill pre and post the 5-1 defeat to Denmark. Why would you limit your options? Why have you limited the options strategically of everyone involved?
And you know,
what if Chris Hughton comes available in 2 years and says, I'm desperate for the job?
Yeah.
What if Stephen Kenny doesn't go great with the under-21s?
You're looking at every scenario that can happen, every which way. It goes horribly wrong for Mick, we lose the first 3 or 4 games. Sensei out of the qualification then. What will the clamour will be?
Get Stephen Kenny in straight away.
As you say, the opposite of that is if it goes unbelievably well, then we'll be saying, what is the point in doing this? I mean, it's great for Stephen Kenny, and he certainly deserves to be in with the shout of getting the job. I think we said that with what he's done within his coaching career to date, with the success that he's had, particularly at Dundalk. I think we were saying last week there's no issues, I think, with anyone.
Yeah.
If he was to take the job, but it's.
And what's this business of what's Kenny going to do for the next 2 years that actually makes him a better candidate?
Yeah.
I mean, so there's talk of they're a team and he's going to learn from Mick.
Yeah. The clear thought is, from the FAI's point of view, is that he was a candidate this time round. And with a little bit more international experience in whatever form that may come, he would be an even more suitable candidate 2 years down the line when Mick McCarthy's contract just happens to expire.
So is he better off managing the under 21 team, or is he better off managing again Zenit St. Petersburg and other teams in the Europa League?
Well, like the criticism of League of Ireland teams, especially when they went into Europe and why they fell down, particularly this year, is a matter of the Dundalk syndrome, is that essentially there were only two real top-class teams in the league for the past couple of years in Dundalk and Cork. So by playing against each other and then lesser sides for the intervening 7-8 weeks, they weren't necessarily going to progress well enough to go in Europe. Whereas now they've detached him from all that. He's going to get a sense of what international football is like at a certain level and will be able to take the next step up after that.
And he'll get used to working within the structure of the FAI as well. That's another thing, isn't it?
Which you'd imagine probably needs a bit of getting used to before you're slung in there anyway.
Yeah, I think it would
ideally.
It'd be totally different for him. Get used to the players. Of course, that's another good thing for him. I mean, what we've said is, well, both managers have accepted the terms anyway. Both managers have gone for it. It's great to say. It's great for Stephen Kenny that he will eventually get the job in his own words. It's in the contract. It's down in writing. I will be taking the job in a couple of years' time or 18 months' time or whenever it's going to be. But it's. It does seem flawed. There are flaws. That's the way that I would see with it. I think realistically, as I said last week, and Matt Doherty has said it himself. Saw some quotes from Matt Doherty. The respect that they've got for Mick would be instantaneous. I'm convinced he'll get a kick from the players. I'm sure he'll get a bounce from them straight away. He does have that presence. He does have an aura about him. And you know, what is an aura? What is it? I don't know. I can't. But Mick certainly has got that little bit of factor in him.
Presence
that brings the best out in people. And I'm convinced that the team will get a kick from that straight away.
Yeah, but none of these things are the issue.
No,
But
that's. I know.
This is a fudge job, really. Like, and you have to look at the situation a week ago. There's a petition that 20,000 people have signed questioning the CEO. Brian Kerr's on the radio questioning the CEO in the most blatant terms. You've got Niall Quinn on outlining a vision. Andy Townsend's had a go. Liam Brady said maybe John Delaney should resign. So you've got all this floating around, and you're the CEO, and you're making this decision, and there's a really strong cohort that you need to get on side who wants Stephen Kenny.
Yeah.
And then there's another batch of people who want Mick McCarthy. And you're in a sticky situation. Like, this is a sticky situation you're in. This was as sticky a situation as Delaney has been in some time. And so are you honestly telling me that has not dictated what he's done here?
It seems the sensible thing to do would be to have this situation in place, but not have a fixed limit on where McCarthy finishes up.
Yeah.
Like, to have Kenny installed as under 21 manager with the knowledge that if and when Mick goes/decides to step away, you will be next in line. Now, that might take 2 years, might take 8, whatever. You stay in place, this gig is yours.
I've no problem with the board. You've no problem with the board sitting around and saying, why don't we potentially go for a McCarthy for 2 years and then Kenny to follow, with the option of McCarthy doing 4 if things go really well, and let's hit the ground running for the next World Cup campaign and not have a new manager.
You can't do that because Kenny will go screw you.
Yes, and so you want Kenny because Kenny gets a certain amount of people on side.
Yeah, that's
so
exactly
it's
the case,
political.
Isn't it?
It's political what's happened here.
Well, as you said before, of course, it is pleasing everybody, isn't it, really? It says, you know, it's we know Mick McCarthy's done the job. Safe pair of hands.
But like any appointment is
political. But you're also...
So is it good for the senior international team?
Oh, do you know what? You think about... Initially, my initial thoughts was, I can get on board with this is great. But then all of a sudden, you think about it and there's so many things that can go wrong with it. Or can go right. Essentially, if it goes right, it can go wrong.
No, totally.
You know what I mean?
Look, I mean,
if it goes right for the team, if it goes so right for the team,
if we're in danger of going to your Nations League qualification.
No, but do you understand what I'm saying? That if it goes brilliantly on the pitch, everything's going so smoothly with the players are taking to what Mick's doing over 2 years, then that's going to go wrong for the FAI. Mm. That's the thing. It's going to go wrong for the plan, the master plan. And I even saw Stephen Kenny today saying it's great that if the team do well at the Euros, I'm taking over a confident side. Mm. But then you're going to a whole different mindset when realistically the team should be building towards something, towards a World Cup or something.
You'd imagine, and hopefully touch wood and all that kind of stuff, he'd have enough cop on Kenny himself that while he is working with the under-21s, he will be shadowing Mick to a certain degree. And he will be seeing what's going on the training pitch with the senior team with the knowledge that I am going to take this and implement my ideas upon that, and hopefully the two will coalesce into a winning outfit.
Would you be sure all that's been worked out? Would you?
I would.
Considering that the two of them met for the first time in 15 years last night,
yeah,
Would you be sure that's all been worked out before this was agreed?
I wouldn't say it's going to be worked out, but I say that's eventually what is going to happen.
I mean, you hope, you think, maybe, because it makes sense. But has any of this made sense? So what are you presuming? That suddenly it's all going to start making sense?
I can't understand how he's going to be able to shut him
up. I just can't believe this.
How's he going to be able to shut him, though, Rich, if he's taking the 21 job? We know full well that the 21s invariably play on the same night as a senior side, or certainly if they're travelling round. So he's not necessarily going to be around the training ground, or it would be limited for the time he'd be able to spend on the training ground with Mick. Like, so that
perception
wouldn't happen. And another other thing as well, Robbie Keane has got an eye on coaching further down the line. Is Robbie Keane going to be able to work with Stephen Kenny? Simply, yeah, he's indicated that he wanted to work with Mick. He's getting involved. Now, again, you're looking at other ways, but Robbie's trying to enhance his coaching career. Yeah. How would that work in 4 years' time or 2 years' time?
I think
then?
Kenny has to be there to pick his backroom staff.
Of course he has to. He has to, just as Mick's done. Mick is bringing in Terry Connor simply because of the relationship they've got. They've got each other's back. They know each other work. Your assistant essentially has to be that man that you know full well.
The positioning of Keane is more questionable, to be fair. I mean, somebody who essentially approached McCarthy, who was the potential new manager, meant give us a coaching gig. Mm. And he went, you cheeky so-and-so, and then gets him involved. Mm. Like, to what end? Like, it remains pretty much undefined what he's actually going to be doing. We know Connor is his coach, his right-hand man, his assistant manager going back a decade now.
Mick was saying yesterday he'll have him watching lots of games for a start, and that his input as a younger member of the coaching staff, I think Mick's turning 60 and Terry Connor is 56, he was saying yesterday. So he said, I quite like the idea of a younger person
like
involved.
I've got no problem with that.
No big issue with that, to be honest.
I don't think Robbie won't be overly hands-on. I'm sure he'll be doing little drills with the team. It'll be little bits of coaching sessions. But predominantly, as it has been even when Brian was manager and Chris Shuton was involved, we had a brilliant coach in Chris Shuton. But day-to-day, Chris would be doing the coaching, but Brian would be doing all the tactical stuff, all the work on the team, if I'm just reverting it back like that. Whereas he had Noel O'Reilly that was around with him as well. Noel O'Reilly didn't do an awful lot of coaching, but he was there, eyes and ears on the squad, keeping an eye on everything for Brian. That's what essentially what Robbie will do, I would imagine so. And also, Robbie will have a massive influence on those players. The younger players definitely will. If, as we're led to believe, as Mick said yesterday, he wants to try and get Declan Rice back on board, what harm would he have Robbie Keane ringing Declan Rice and if that would be the case, you know?
No issue with that. The biggest issue is that they've straitjacketed themselves here. It just doesn't make any sense beyond the political scenario that was facing Delaney last week.
Yeah.
Problems have gone away for 4 years.
Yeah, because even if things don't go great under McCarthy, he can say, well, it's part of a wider plan. You deliberately used the word vision and pathway several times yesterday.
You were asking there, did any other nations done it? I think Germany did it in, was it 06, I think.
Germany beforehand were looking to appoint Christoff Daum as their manager and had him in place. He got involved in a couple of transgressions off the field and they ended up having to give Rudi Völler, who was the caretaker at the time, the job permanently and went from there.
They did it with Jogi Löw as well, but the admin's part of the first team setup. That was what he was doing. Was he in the 21s? I'm not too sure.
Löw was definitely Klinsmann's assistant.
Assistant, yeah, that was it. So, and with the they knew it was a natural succession. Holland have done it as well. The Netherlands have done it over the last while as well, but...
Was that with Van Gaal and Danny Blind?
Yeah, Van Gaal.
Connor says here, Holland did this with Van Gaal and Danny Blind. It was a disaster. Yeah, this makes no sense.
Blind was a disaster because, I mean, to be fair, Holland was struggling as well.
Blind had no record as a head coach either, really.
What if Stephen Kenny has a disaster with the under-21s? Does he still get the job regardless? Ridiculous decision, says Kieran Cork.
Yeah, but is he going to be judging that 21? Well, he's been given the senior job, so he's not going to be judging the 21 job, is he?
Yeah. There will be a clamour if Mick starts off the Euro 2020 qualifiers badly, to the point where 3, 4, 5 games in, it looks very unlikely that Ireland will qualify. There will then be a clamour to get Stephen Kenny in, the fair logic being, well, he's going to be in anyway, let's give him every chance possible to be able to hit the ground running for the World Cup qualification. Yeah. So even though Mick said, I don't see him as a threat in any way, I guarantee you 3, 4 games in, if things aren't going well, then that will become another conversation which will be unhelpful.
I think it will
create it here.
I think Mick will certainly know that himself. He knows how it works. So it's that is the thing overall with it, that both have taken the job. And again, before I go back to my point before, there's so many different things that could happen here along the way. It's not a natural transition. It's not going to be natural in 2 years' time. As I said, if it goes well, then essentially the FAI will be having questions, the players will be getting asked questions, as you say earlier on. So it's a strange one. It is a strange one. The more I've thought about it and how it can actually work out going forward, yeah.
I'm not sure what the best, I think the best scenario for everyone is they just about make the Euros, don't do too well. And then everyone says, okay, fair enough.
I think, yeah.
I think that's about the best scenario.
Which is probably the most likely scenario as well.
Potentially.
This idea that we're going to the Euros and getting to a semi-final is slightly fantastical.
Duffer was on Morning Ireland. I was genuflect before the Duffer. And he said, this is a bit unheard of. I find it strange, a bit mad. There are so many what ifs. What if Mick does amazingly well, gets to the Euros, the quarters, the semis? Then he has to stay on. I'd like to know what's in the small print. I can see Mick doing well, and for him to walk away after two great years, crazy stuff. Well, the small print is unequivocal. Mick is gone. Stephen Kenny starts in August 2020, no matter what happens.
Damien knows the impact that Mick will have on the players, and I'm convinced that's going to be the case. So that's why he's thinking that, as I feel the same, Mick will have an immediate impact on that squad. I do think that, and I think they'll get a kick. And then we're asking the questions of, right, why aren't we going to be having Mick McCarthy, potentially, hopefully we get to the Euro, touch where everything's fine with that, then potentially why isn't Mick McCarthy taking us to Qatar?
Football on Off The Ball. Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Right, welcome back. There are a ton of text messages coming in, so I'm going to put them to Kev and go through them in just a second. We've just got to go through them all and get them up here, and we'll flick through as many as we can. There's a huge response. But I think, in fairness, we should hear from Stephen Kenny first, who was speaking today. He is Ireland's next manager, so from August 2020, he'll be in situ. He's the under-20 manager and beyond for the next 2 years or so. So here's some of what Kenny was talking about. He was asked, I guess, about one of the scenarios we're raising, whereby if Mick McCarthy does extremely well and wants to stay on, then what happens then? Is there any possibility that McCarthy might stay on?
No, I think, listen, if it's already been decided, decisions have already been made. You know, I think if Mick gets Ireland to the Euros and performs well, I'll be absolutely delighted. It's a great scenario to have because you're taking over a team, playing with confidence. It's great for Mick because it'd be a massive achievement for him and to do that again. And, you know, his stock will be absolutely really high, and it'd be great for him and great for the country. And, you know, I view that as a real... That's only good news, you know. That would only be good news.
Is that part of your contract, or is it just you've been promised, essentially, that you'll be taken over in 2020?
Oh yeah, it's in August 2020. Yeah, I'm taking over, and that's been decided.
But not in writing as such.
Sorry?
No, it's not in writing. It's just you've been told.
No, it's in writing. Yeah.
It's in writing.
Slightly tense moment there for a second. It is in writing. It is happening. There's no way about this.
Well, that's it. I wouldn't have thought you'd have taken the job. Otherwise, that's obviously the conditions that he's taking it under, hasn't he? There's no way he was actually going to walk away. As we said earlier on, there have been indications that he was offered the under-21 job originally and he didn't take it. So, again, for him, I think it's great for him, and I think his coaching credentials and his career has deserved the chance to take over.
And for me, he doesn't deserve to be caught up in this absolute shambles, actually. You know, he shouldn't have to be answering questions and what's a great day for him about, you know, but what if Mick does really well? Are we still stuck with you?
Yeah.
Which is basically what that is, and it's a fair enough question. Mm. Is it? But it's not in writing, is it? Yeah, it's in writing. I'm taking over. Oh, okay. That shouldn't be how this day's going for Stephen Kenny.
Totally. And that
being caught up in this whatever arrangement this is.
Imagine this. I mean, it's such a big day for him, such a proud day for him. It's obviously 2 years down the line or however long it's going to be before he takes the job. But it's a hugely proud day for him, I can imagine that. And the questions will continue to be asked. They're going to be asked by Mick McCarthy, or asked to Mick McCarthy, should I say, in the lead up to his first game in charge. They'll be continued to ask of Mick McCarthy through his reign. Hopefully, as I said before, when we get to the Euros, even when we get, if in what, 2 years' time, 18 months' time, we're preparing for the Euros, those questions will be asked of him again in the lead up to the Euros. It's going to be asked across his whole reign.
Yeah.
It is.
So on the job itself, there's been talk of like this sense of team, so it's McCarthy, TC, Robbie, Stephen Kenny, it's all one big team here. So Mick and Stephen Kenny met last night. I presume Robbie and Terry Connor were there, but certainly Mick and Stephen Kenny did. And they had a conversation about the next few years, I suppose. And he was asked how he feels this is all going to work, all of them working for Irish football, just on a practical basis. Yeah. Like, how is this going to work?
Yeah, no, that was fine. It was great. I've not met Mick in probably 15 years. I think 15 years ago I met him, but so you know, it all went very well. He's got great experience, Mick, as obviously having captained Ireland for such a long period and from been a very successful period as manager of Ireland. So I think I can only learn from him. That's the way I feel over the next, you know, until in the interim period. The senior team is not my brief. My brief is the under 21 international team, the under 19s, the under 18s, 17s, 16s and 15s. I think there's great work going on at all levels. I think all the international managers from Tom Moan to Jim Crawford to Colin O'Brien, Paul O'Zam and Jason Donoghue, right throughout, there's been a lot of great work done. Part of Ruud Dochter and the board's vision here for what for the future of Irish football. I'm now a part of that. It's my role is to assist and support all of the other managers and to nurture and develop and help inspire the new generation of Irish players for the future of Irish football. And I think that's a very exciting period for everyone. This is the position I'm offered, so I'm very happy with what I've been offered, and that, you know, that's the way I feel about it.
You were wondering earlier on, so I appreciate there's people tuning in all the time. We're not massive fans of this arrangement for anyone just tuning in. Mm. Don't see the point in limiting ourselves as the FAI limiting themselves into this straitjacket, really, is the point. And you were wondering how much time Stephen Kenny can spend with Mick McCarthy around international windows, because he'll be busy himself.
That is the thing. I'm sure they'll talk. How much conversation they're going to have? It will be limited. They're going to be able to spend time together, simply because time-wise, the time he'll have to spend with the 21s, we know now. It's when Ian Evans used to be Mick McCarthy's assistant, the under 21s would play the night before. Invariably, we'd be playing against the same team that the senior team would have been playing against the night before. So there'd be no issues there. But we can't do that now, because international under 21s now is separate from the seniors. It's a total separate entity in many respects, because they do their own thing. They play their own groups. They have totally different qualification process in general. So they won't be able to shadow each other, or Stephen Kenny will not be able to shadow Mick McCarthy in the training ground. It will not be able to happen. It's not feasible.
Yeah. So he was asked about his philosophy then. I guess it's the big credential that Stephen Kenny has for this job. He's done amazing things with Dundalk, fantastic football, and he's brought that football into Europe and played that same football again. Hasn't done what most Irish sides do and try and sit back and nick a goal. And so he was asked about getting that policy, that philosophy, into the Irish team.
You know, it's not like I'm coming in starting something new. I think there's been a sea change in the philosophy, really, since Ruud has come in, we already mentioned the aforementioned managers and all the teams. They're playing the one way. I think one of the things that has been obvious in our discussions at various times is that the vision that Ruud has for the teams and the managers and the way they're playing is similar to the one I have myself, and I think it is a bit of a meeting of minds in that regard, and certainly, so I think it's not just up to me. I'm just part of a team in that regard. The other managers, Ruud, myself. Ruud is such a wide brief as technical director. He can't be everywhere and at once. And I think it has to be a collective effort, between, to the under-21s will be a job in itself. There's no doubt, a massive job. Ireland have never qualified for the European Under 21 Championships in their history. It's always difficult because only one qualifies, and it's a difficult task. So I think, but we'll work together with all the underage, with all the other managers to try and improve all the players. You know, one of the things I do think is that hopefully some of the players come in and do well at under 21 level, and Mick feels they've done well enough for him to select them. So, you know, that's the objective as well. You know, without doubt, that's the objective.
And then one last point. There's certainly reports during the rounds that Kenny was initially approached to take the under-21 job and wasn't quite interested in leaving Dundalk for that role and was far more amenable to this role where he becomes Ireland's senior manager in 2 years' time and takes the under-21s in the meantime. So he was asked if he would have taken the under-21 role if it wasn't guaranteed with the senior job in 2 years' time.
Well, I think that's a hypothetical situation, you know. It's a hypothetical question. And I think the situation I'm in now is a great situation. You know, as I said, it's a huge honour, you know, to be involved in, to manage the under-21 team and thereafter what's involved. It's just an absolutely huge honour. So I'm delighted to be here.
Had you been approached after Noel King had...
There had been some discussions in that regard. There had been some discussions, but we're at a point where we are now, and I'm very comfortable with it.
Well, if there were discussions and he didn't take the job, that would suggest he didn't want just that job, and that the senior job has been worked into this to get him.
Mm. That's exactly the case, isn't it?
That's what's happened.
Clearly.
We'll get to the text messages. John Delaney spoke to Nathan yesterday at the Mick McCarthy announcement. So he started by asking John Delaney, Nathan did, why the FAI felt it was time to part ways with Martin O'Neill.
The last 12 months have been tough. Martin, to be fair, has blooded a lot of young players, maybe 12 or 13. But I think the sense was we had officially got relegated come Friday night from the Nations League. Attendances were dropping and the football had got poor over the last period. I think Martin would accept that himself. So I sat down with Martin in London on Tuesday night with Michael Cody, our honorary secretary, spoke about it as openly as I'm speaking it to you, had a good conversation, and we all felt the best time now was to part ways in a way that was done professionally and with a handshake.
Do you have any regrets about the contract that was offered and signed earlier in the year and the extra expense and almost the sense that it was a wasted year for Irish football?
I don't think you can look at it at 12 months. I think, you know, you've got to look at, was that managerial appointment good for Irish football? And we've had success in our last two managerial appointments. Trapattoni and Tardelli were good appointments. We got qualified. Martin O'Neill, Roy Keane was a good appointment for Irish football. I think the last 12 months have been tough, but a lot of young players have been blooded, 12 or 13. And those young players been blooded will stand to Mick McCarthy and Stephen Kenny as they go on to manage Ireland.
This new deal that's been announced today, it's quite unusual, it's quite unprecedented to not just announce one manager. Mick McCarthy's here till 2020, and then Stephen Kenny taking over with the under-21 job for these 2 years and then taking the senior role. How did that come together? Was it something that you had in your mind for quite a while, that when the opportunity came you'd go down this route, or did it all happen in the last 3 or 4 days?
Well, the first thing is when people are in positions managing teams, it's not right to be having discussions after, you know, while they're in those positions. So the association would have for quite a while felt after Noel King had stepped down that Stephen Kenny would have been our absolute choice for the 21s and managing the underage teams. Once the decision had been made that the Martin O'Neill and Roy and the backroom staff, you know, would come to the position with them, the candidate in our minds would have been Mick McCarthy to take on the project. But we felt, and Stephen felt, that the commitment to manage the senior team should also be given to him. So when we had the discussions, be it with Stephen Kenny during the week, be it with Mick McCarthy during the week, bringing Robbie Keane in during the week, everybody bought into the vision that the FAI wanted, which was, and is quite simply, that Mick McCarthy will manage the senior team as of now, get us to the Euros for 2020. Stephen Kenny will take over the national team after 2020 to get us to the World Cup.
Is that absolutely watertight, that Stephen Kenny will be the manager in 2020?
Absolutely. You've heard that from Mick McCarthy today. You'll hear that from Stephen Kenny tomorrow, and you've heard that from me today. But in between, Stephen Kenny has a lot of work to do. He's not got the inconsiderable task of managing our under-21s teams and managing our underage teams, and also, which he's passionate about, getting around Europe, seeing international football, talking to managers, learning from Mick McCarthy about his experiences over the next 2 years about managing international football, which is different to club football, given the shortage of time that you have with players. Mm-hmm. When you manage at club level, we've said it a million times today, you get the players every day, you can work with them every day. In international football, it's different. Martin O'Neill would have made that clear as well when he came in.
Mick McCarthy's, he's only 59. I'm sure he still sees many years in front of him as a manager. Was he aware all the way through that this was going to be a short-term project for him?
Well, you have to meet Mick McCarthy first and tell him what our vision is, and he did. We bought into that. I think it was, you know what, nearly with the way you've just said, it's less than a week since we played Denmark. But I think it was Thursday, Friday. I think Friday that would have sat with Mick, sat down with him, explained it to him, and he said, listen, I'm fine with that. I'm good with that. He said, I want to come back and manage Ireland. I want to get you to a major tournament. I would think somewhere along the way he got to a World Cup, but he wants to get to a Euros as well. And he sees the prize here. Four games at the Aviva Stadium in 2020. Two of them could be home. Two of them would be home games if we qualified. And I think after the dust settles tomorrow, because it's a big press conference that Stephen will do, and he'll outline his vision as well, all eyes will be to the draw and who we get and the qualifying matches through 2019.
It was initially said that maybe Stephen Kenny had turned down the under 21 job. It sounds as though he drove a pretty hard bargain in the end that he ended up in this position that he will be manager in 2 years.
I wouldn't say anybody drove a hard bargain. I think you've got to set out what do you want? What does the board of the FAI want? What does Ruud Dokter want? What did we want? And having discussed it with Mick and having discussed it with Stephen, that vision is now the vision we've outlined today. And I think it's a great vision for Irish football. I think people will say, well, okay, that makes a lot of sense. Let Mick come in, do his stuff, get us qualified. He's proved that he can get us qualified in the past. He's proved that he can work with championship players. He proves that he can get the best out of players. That Mick McCarthy just really is a great example of that. Stephen Kenny is a young, outstanding manager. And he's proved that at League of Ireland level absolutely brilliantly. And he's proved it in European club competition. He's now got the real opportunity to come in and work with the association, with the under-21s and underage level, learn more about international football, and then his job in 2020, which is a long way away yet, long way away, but he'll get it, is to take us to Qatar in 2022.
John Delaney speaking there to Nathan Murphy yesterday. I'm going to get all the texts in just a moment. I would say of the Delaney comments there, again, nothing explains why the FAI have locked themselves into this scenario. It is a fudging of the situation.
Everyone's going with the line. Certainly Mick has, Stephen Kenny has, John Delaney. They're all going with the same line. They've all bought into it. Everyone's bought into it.
Well, Mick had no choice.
Yeah.
Stephen Kenny has done it because there is an amazing carrot at the end of the stick.
Yeah.
And John Delaney has done it because he was under massive pressure. Again, massive pressure last week. There was a petition with 20,000 signatures. They were stopping fans bringing demonstrations into our house. Brian Kerr was on the radio saying he's mismanaged football for 15 years. Andy Townsend weighed in. Liam Brady weighed in. And there's a cohort that wanted Stephen Kenny. And there's a cohort that wanted Mick McCarthy. And so they've dreamt this one up and strategically have made it difficult for themselves now in 2 years' time to react in the best interest of Irish football if things go different ways. Mm. I.e. if Mick does brilliantly, they're straitjacketed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes no sense.
I just...
What? The motivation behind this decision is the issue, and the board and John Delaney need to come out and explain this decision in far clearer terms, because from a strategy point of view, to lock yourself in 2 years' time into this happening no matter what, and as we said earlier, 90 minutes is a long time in football, yeah, let alone 2 years, is not best practice. Yeah. There's a reason other countries don't do this. There's, yeah, a reason clubs don't do this.
And something that you suggested earlier on as well, if Stephen Kenny was still in the job at Dundalk, he would jump at the chance in 2 years' time.
Still be there.
Or a year's time, 18 months, however long it's going to be, he would jump at the chance to take the job, wouldn't he?
I think so. It's his dream job. I think he'd love, yeah, nothing more than to manage the country. And again, yeah, the point is, it's not about whether you give the job to Mick now or Stephen. I see the merits of both, Stephen Kenny.
Yeah.
The point is, why, from a governance point of view, would you think this is a good idea, this next 4 years? Mm.
The Football Show on Off the Ball. Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
I'm prepared to anything I can to play my country again.
Do it then. What about your start to the game?
It wasn't bad, was it?
Why should an honest answer be a mistake?
How can a modern day manager not have a mobile phone?
Why should he?
So Pat Nevin will join us in the Football Show this evening. He was watching the action over the weekend, including Spurs 3, Chelsea 1, and Manchester United 0-0 against Crystal Palace. You watched that game as well, Kev?
Yeah.
None too impressed?
Far from impressed by Man United, most definitely, yeah.
And then Man City 4, West Ham 0 in London. After about 18 minutes of 2-0 down, I'd say Pellegrini would have jumped at 4-0.
Do you know what, George? Like, imagine, I think, and I know they have been scoring a lot of goals at home. I was saying to lads at the weekend, City have been great at home scoring for fun. But can you imagine when they go away from home? It must be like a release for them because sides are actually going to come at them a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's get at them today. You know, we've got a chance. We're at home. Get the crowd behind us. All it's doing is just exposing you. And City are just destroying everything at the moment.
So we're going to bring people Mick McCarthy in just a moment. He was speaking to Nathan yesterday. On the whole, not to repeat ourselves ad nauseum, people just tuning in though, I certainly think this is an awful decision, what's happened with Stephen Kenny and Mick McCarthy. Not the appointment of either. I think they both could have been appointed for the next 2 years and then let's see what happens. But that the FAI have given themselves no out here, that they've committed to the next manager. It is the complete antithesis of strategic thinking. It is terrible governance. It makes no sense that they have committed to this plan, regardless of how Mick McCarthy does. I just think it makes absolutely zero sense. And I think politically, John Delaney was under a lot of pressure. There was a lot of heat in John Delaney last week between Brian Kerr and Andy Townsend and Liam Brady, and there were 20,000 signatures and a petition, reportedly. And Stephen Kenny admitted today he'd had discussions about the under-21 job. That hadn't come to anything, presumably because it wasn't enough for him to leave Dundalk. Why would it be Europa League football?
Yeah.
And so desperate were the FAI to appease, I think, a strong and vociferous cohort of Irish football that they thought to themselves, well, we have to get Kenny involved. And so they offered him the job in 2 years' time. What happens in 2 years if Mick's gone? Great. Damien Duff called it a crazy situation, crazy stuff today on Morning Ireland. If things go very badly, is there then a big pressure to get Stephen Kenny in early? Because why not? Let's prepare him for the World Cup campaign as early as possible, and there's even more pressure on Mick then. What Kenny's going to learn from Mick over the next 2 years, I think it's very questionable, really. Yeah. He's going to be doing similar things in international windows. And then the other interesting thing is we're talking here about an investment in Irish youth football. So say you're playing for the under-21s.
Yeah.
Kenny's confirmed today that even if the under-21s qualify for the under-21 European Championships, he's not going to be around.
Yeah.
In fact, he said he may not be around for the entirety of the qualification cycle.
Yeah.
He said that has to be discussed. It's very unlikely because I'll be appointed in August 2020. That's what I think. So we've hired an under-21 manager who's not going to be around for the end of the under-21 cycle.
Yeah.
Now, I know that's not the be-all and end-all.
It is, but it's
Noel,
something.
Noel King was given a fair old bashing for not having got to a tournament.
Mm.
So does that help your chances of making the next tournament, which is going to be on potentially in Northern Ireland, Ireland?
Yeah, that's true.
So,
I mean, the only thing with that is, Joe, is that he will have a chance to look at the whole of the structure, yes, but also the players that we have got coming through in 2 years' time. The likes, we all know of the lads like Troy Parrott and people like this that are going to be pushing to be going for the senior side. Some would argue they maybe potentially could be in there now. So yeah. I think it certainly gives him a chance to have a good look at them and get his coaching methods across to those lads before they're actually going to make that step up. So that is a good thing, I'd feel, from his point of view there. And I think from the lads' point of view,
Agree with that. No issue with Stephen Kenny going in as under-21 manager. But to
appoint
him for as Ireland manager.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you.
Time
I'm
just
with
makes
you.
No sense.
As I said earlier on, I think it is flawed. It is flawed. This, and again, I am quite surprised with Mick taking it under those conditions as well. I think it does leave Mick a little bit exposed if it's going wrong straight away. Mick's big enough and strong enough to take any of the criticism that's going to come his way. That wouldn't be the issue for him. I was with him on Virgin Media last week as well. He's talking about that we are sensitive folks, sportsmen and women in general, and managers and coaches. So he will be hurt if the criticism comes his way early on if the results aren't going right. But all it does, it just puts more pressure on him. And it's an easy one then just to think, let's just step him aside. Let's step him aside early. It is a mad one from that side of it. Yeah, I'd feel.
What it suggests to me is how vulnerable John Delaney was suddenly feeling last week. Because I just don't understand why you sit down in a room with Stephen Kenny and give him this job in 2 years' time.
Yeah,
that should not be done. There's a reason it's not done anywhere else. It's not best practice.
Yeah, it's true. It's I think you'd said it earlier as well. He will still be available in 2 years' time anyway.
I would think
so.
So
you'd think as well, coaching Dundalk, they've got I think Dan was saying at the weekend, I think I'm right in saying that they've got a more favourable draw for the Champions League this season, haven't they? I think the seeded, I think he was saying, I think that's right. So that, of course, gives him a little bit more, I would think, to take forward. I think it'll raise his profile, raise his reputation even higher if they were go on to play in European football again next season. So I think he was still would have been available, essentially. That's what I'm saying. He's there. He is fine. There's no issues there whatsoever. So to do it, I think it just puts more pressure on Mick, and it'll maybe highlight, I think it could even come back to haunt them a little bit as well if results weren't favourable. If it goes well and, you know, Mick's fine, then of course I think that even is going to come back to haunt them. It is a bit of a mad one, yeah.
Mm. So Mick McCarthy yesterday spoke to the media. I think you were pretty impressed with him. You're a fan of Mick anyway. But
I am, but...
You could see why yesterday. I think he disarmed everybody.
Do you
yesterday.
Not think that? Do you
yeah,
not
I thought he was excellent.
He was just brilliant the way that he spoke. Everything that he said, even his little joke around Robbie and calling me little bollocks, thing. Like, it was just great, wasn't it? Mm. It was just great, and everything that he said, it was just...
Cheeky bollocks. Cheeky bollocks.
Well, he's just at ease with himself.
Yeah. You know. I got it wrong.
It's good perspective. Not, I think it was Vincent Hogan. Somebody was remembering 22 years ago when he was asked in his opening press conference as Ireland manager about his style of play. Mm. It became quite adversarial even quickly enough. And he made the point that, well, he's better qualified than people in the room, i.e. the journalists, to get that style of play. Whereas yesterday, it's far softer. And he's been around the block. So.
I think he says it himself. When we went out to speak to him last year, didn't we, when we spoke to him, he was saying this. I took the job. Was he 36, I think, when he got the job? 30, yeah, 38, something?
33 at Millwall, and then 2-3 years later.
Yeah, so, he was mid to late 30s when he took that job. And can you imagine that? Imagine having that job. Yeah. That when you think back now at 36, 37, you've got that job and the pressure that's on your shoulders.
And you're replacing Jack.
Yeah.
Wasn't easy. So Nathan was there yesterday at the Aviva Stadium and he got a few minutes with Mick McCarthy afterwards.
Mick, congratulations. Judging by the glint in your eye, you're happy to be back.
Thank you. And I am happy to be back, of course, yeah.
It's been a whirlwind couple of days, I'd imagine. Can you talk us through them from your point of view and when you first realised that there was an opportunity to return?
Yes, I got a call on Wednesday as I was driving to Sunderland, actually. To come and speak. Well, Martin had gone, and of course my phone suddenly went haywire with the news that he'd gone, and then I got a call late that on Wednesday to ask if I would go and meet John and Rude. So I was delighted to get the call, of course.
Was it clear right from the start that it was going to be this short-term arrangement until 2020, with Stephen Kenny then stepping in?
As soon as I met them face to face. Oh yeah, they were right open and honest and transparent about it. There couldn't be anything else. They couldn't drop that one on me, could they say? initially, would I have liked 4 years? But I've gone back on that. I keep saying I think that you should be in charge for a tournament. All right, so I'm not going to get the chance to have that chance of another tournament. But you know what? If we do well, if we qualify, and that's going to be tough, we're going to 2 qualifiers in March. If we do and we end up with a brilliant tournament, and I have to hand that on to somebody else, I've agreed to do that, and I'm cool.
Yeah, it has opened the unusual predicament of actually Ireland fans talking about what happens if it goes brilliantly at Euro 2020.
Well, I'm glad they're thinking that. Yeah, it'd be great. But if it doesn't, then, you know, there'd be people who'd be glad to see you at the back of me anyway. So, I said I think that I should have left in 2002. I had a great tournament, but I never thought of it at the time. And I've not just thought this now. I thought that after when I eventually left, I thought I should have gone. Should have walked. And enjoyed the fact and left it. So whatever happens, that's just what I'll be doing.
Have you met Stephen Kenny before?
I think we have briefly, but I'm looking forward to meeting him tonight. Seeing him, we're gonna have a bit of dinner.
His role is under 21 manager and in charge of all the underage teams. But part of this seems that he's going to learn the ropes somewhat of senior team management as well. Do you expect him to be in and around the camp quite a bit?
That's difficult because I had it with Taff, Ian Evans, when he was the 21s manager. Their games are on a different day. They could be in different places. I think the message is to everybody that it's a team, everybody, from, you know, everybody who is involved, from John Delaney all the way down to wherever it might go, and we all have to work as one to try and be a success. And that's with Steve, and that's with Rude, that's with me and everybody else. I'll be going to speak to scouts in England and anybody that can help us anybody can do a job for us and help us make us better.
You've announced two of your backroom team today. Terry Connor is going to be your assistant and Robbie Keane coming in as well. Have you any other plans for coaching as to who you want involved?
There'll be a goalkeeping coach come in and possibly something with a scouting, but other than that, no, I don't need a massive team in terms of doing that. TC and myself ran Wolves, we ran Ipswich, we've got enough experience, and Robbie's coming in now to give us younger mind, brighter mind, fresher, some new ideas from his time at Inter Milan, from Leeds, from Liverpool, from Tottenham. If he can't add something to it, then there's going to be something sadly wrong.
We spend a lot of time working with several of your former players, Kevin Kilbane, Gary Breen, and their eyes light up when they talk about playing for Ireland under you and how much they enjoyed it and your powers of motivation. And an awful lot of those players played their best football in a green jersey. When you look at this Irish team now and 12 players coming in the past year at a really difficult time, and you listen to some of Matt Doherty's comments about the training and the difference between club and country, I don't know if they have that same buzz, those younger players coming in. You are probably going to have, a week before your first match with them? How tough a task is that to get that pride, passion, love of playing for Ireland back, as well as getting the technical side of it as well?
I don't know. Until they all tip up in March. I've just been saying, I joined Ipswich on the 1st of November and we had 7 points from 13 games. And I was there on the Wednesday. And all it was negativity. We sat watching games, we sat watching our games, watching the opposition, and I didn't get one positive vibe from anybody until our goalkeeping coach, Malcolm Webster, said to me, "Hey, Gaffer, you know, there's some good players here and there's some good lads here and it's not all negative." And that's got to be the same thought process here. That let's try and get away from the negativity, let's try and get the positivity back. You're not telling me that all those lads don't want to come here and play for Ireland. Of course they do. And it's when they're here, try and get that atmosphere going that I had with Jack, with Mick Byrne, that people had with me. And you said about Breeny and Kevin Kilbane, they're two great players for me. And I'm so happy and I'm proud of the fact that they enjoyed playing for me. So let's hope I can get that going again. Fingers crossed, wouldn't it be great?
The landscape has changed as well in terms of those type of players who grew up very much in Irish communities in England. We've had constant eligibility rows over the last 3 or 4 years from Jack Grealish through to Declan Rice. Michael Obafemi has now been sorted. What's your attitude towards that situation? Do you go chasing these young players who've been involved, who are undecided about where their allegiances lie?
I think if the players qualify, then they're entitled to play. You know, there'd have been a lot of, excuse me, you know, I remember joining, there's me and Jerry Payton and Chris Hughton and others Ray Houghton, Tony Cascarino, you know, people that were born in England. Paul McGrath was born in England. I think David O'Leary was born in England, I believe, so I was led to believe. But, you know, Irish parents came back in Ireland. There's lots of us that played in those teams that are kind of revered as legends and heroes because of the success that we had. So I think it'd be remiss of me not to try and include all those players. If I can get them and we can get them playing and they do qualify to play, then that's first and foremost, and then they want to turn up and play and play in that green shirt and give everything that the Kevin Kilbanes, the Breenies, the Paul McGraths, David O'Leary's, Ray Houghtons, Andy Townsends, that we gave all throughout that, you know, that period of time, which was a wonderful, wonderful period for Irish football.
What's your plan with Declan Rice specifically?
Sorry, I'm scratching my nose. I'm not telling lies. I know that's body language. I've actually got an itchy nose. Declan Rice, I've spoken to his dad. I said, look, I hope you don't mind me saying this, because I wanted to be able to repeat what he'd said, and he'd been asked to go to St George's Park, and which he did. He never thought it was going to get blown up like it did. He's like some sort of traitor, and that's far from it. He's played in the youth teams and everybody believes he's a really good player and should be playing for us. I guess that's up to me. I'll maybe drop Robbie along and we'll go and see him and see if we can. It's a different set of circumstances. Now, I'm going to clear something up. It's nothing to do with any arguments with Martin, Roy or anybody else. It all just got so much and overwhelming that the story, that he just took a backward step. And I actually said that when I was interviewed and asked about it. I said, he should just go and play in West Ham's team. Get in there, become a good player, and then he'll have the choice. And well, maybe he's got that now, and hopefully he chooses us.
So what's the plan for the next 4 months? Do you get around, watch as many games as possible, speak to as many of the players face-to-face as possible?
Absolutely. I'll have to get all the phone numbers first. I'll be going to some of the training grounds and watch them and meet them. Hopefully watch some other training as well, try and learn something from somebody else, because there's always something to learn wherever you go. And trying to get my... Well, we'll be watching the opposition, certainly when the draw starts. Then I can go back and watch the other teams that have been playing, watch the players that do play in those teams, and try and get us as well prepared as we possibly can for March 2019.
Best of luck with us.
Thank you.
There we are. That's a section of Mick McCarthy speaking to Nathan yesterday. It was in keeping with his general press conference, I would say. Kev, excellent communicator.
Brilliant. He did it. I mean, this interview was great as well. Is how he comes across. The press conference, totally unfazed by it, being there, seeing it, done it, I suppose. That the interesting thing, and I'd said it maybe at the start of the interview when you and I were just chatting there, the first thing he will do, most definitely, and you just touched on it at the end, is get the phone numbers of the players. He'll be in contact with the players. I'm sure he's even contacted some of the players now at this stage, but it'll certainly between now and Christmas time, he'll be watching them, but also calling them, even giving them a little bit of feedback on their own performances for the club, for your club. He used to do that with me. He used to do that with all the lads. You get a regular phone call from Mick prior to the games when he maybe announced a squad and things like that. And
wasn't it a reassuring thing as well that right away he's on the front foot on the Declan Rice situation? I have spoken to his father already. I'm not waiting. Yeah. I'm not being passive. And
yeah.
You would suspect of anyone who might go and sit down with Declan Rice and his family in December, Mick McCarthy, maybe with a Robbie Keane, I don't know. But you would feel, well, that will be Irish football putting its best foot forward in terms of communication and giving him a sense of what it's all about.
Yeah.
Whatever he chooses, he chooses. But even that was a good sign. He's already been in touch with the Rice family. He's on the case. How do you think he's going to do over the next 2 years?
I think, again, what I've said earlier on, I think he'll make an immediate impact. I think he's very personable. So he'll make an impression on the players immediately, as I said, when he's on the phone to them. You know, you can take it. It seems something minor, picking up the phone and speaking to players, but some don't do it, some managers don't do that. And that little bit of communication, they would have them straight away. They'll come off the phone feeling better about themselves. Yeah. Again, it seems minor, you maybe think it's quite flimsy, but I think footballers are quite fragile. I think players are quite fragile, and you need that little bit of stability in your own head that you've got a manager that's watching you, giving you that little bit of feedback. That's immediately what he'll do. So you said touched on there, he's not got a lot of time actually on the training ground, no. Has he? Getting that team prepared. So those bits of those conversations he'll be having with the players, maybe even talking to them well in advance of meeting up about what's expected of them when they're in the squad, when they're in the team, or what position they're going to be playing.
He's good at that.
Exactly, that's what he's very good at. And that's the message he'll get across. That's why I would hope, and the way I would see him, if you're looking for a manager to make that immediate impact and impression on the players, he will do that. Yeah.
I don't think that's flimsy at all. I think on the outside, having spoken to you sometimes about stuff that we can't repeat on the radio half the time, just how bad people are at man-managing in the game is shocking. Mm. You know, and actually to have someone, if you're a player, and you'll have come across some dodgy managers in your time, one way or another, who aren't good with people. To have someone like McCarthy, who just get on the phone, be a pretty normal person, talk to you on a level and make you feel better about yourself.
Yes.
That goes a long way, especially when, as you said, and as Mick kind of conceded there, he doesn't have much time in March to do any great tactical shit.
Yeah. I can only relate back to my experiences of Mick when I first met him, when I came into the under-21s, and I'm almost like starry-eyed when I'm seeing him, Mick McCarthy, looking at him across the room in the hotel.
And the current players won't quite have that.
No, they probably won't, and that's probably true, but he still has that way about him, though, Joe. He does, watching what Matt Doherty was saying, Matt Doherty was speaking, quoting, saying, look, I was frightened to walk past him in the corridor.
Past O'Neill?
No, past Mick McCarthy. But then he kind of just, because he's just got a presence about him. And then as soon as he started speaking to him, it was almost like, I want to play for this guy. Brilliant. He brought the best out of him. When he's at Wolves.
Okay.
Because Mick signed him for Wolves.
Yes, of course.
So immediately then he's making an impression on a young lad, getting him training with the first team, so he's starting to see exactly what Mick's all about, and that's I'm sure what he will do.
It's a good starting point for sure.
Definitely, definitely. And again, go back to you said before, some managers don't do it, and it seems something minor. And you can actually, just swish it away as nothing and say, look, it's absolutely nothing. But to a player, to anyone in general, I suppose really, that if you get that phone call, you get that reassurance. It's a win-win, I feel, from that one.
You've been there, you've been in that position. You're totally entitled to make that point.
Mm.
You know, we can. It's easy to underestimate it on the outside, but actually, there's so many bad man managers. Like Martin O'Neill wasn't phoning anyone. I wouldn't suspect. We know he phoned Matt Doherty after the Game On interview.
Did he?
Oh yeah. Oh, did you not hear that?
No.
It's in all the papers. Matt Doherty got a phone call from Martin O'Neill afterwards to tell him what he thought of him.
What did Matt Doherty say?
I don't know what was said beyond that, but certainly Matt Doherty was under no illusions about what Martin O'Neill thought of Matt Doherty.
Was he?
Yeah. Look, maybe Matt Doherty shouldn't have gone on radio the day Martin O'Neill was sacked to dance on the grave either, but I wonder, was O'Neill calling Matt Doherty much before that?
Yeah.
The first time he rang him. Okay, so that was Mick McCarthy speaking yesterday. We're going to talk to Pat Nevin about some of the Premier League action. We'll also get his thoughts on the Stephen Kenny succession plan as well. Give us an outsider's perspective.
Get in there! That's what I pay you for!
I think conceit and arrogance is part of a man's makeup. Perhaps I've got too much.
I believe in a different concept of football to John.
We don't play in the clouds. If God wanted us to play football in the clouds, he'd have put grass there.
That might mean, you know, aiming for utopia, and it might mean being a little bit stupid. But that is the way I am.
And if anything is going to win second division this season, it's character. And I've got it.
How do you react, though, when someone, you know, from your playing staff comes and says, boss, I think you're doing this wrongly?
Good. Well, I ask him which way he thinks it should be done, and then we talk about it for 20 minutes, and then we decide I was right.
Oh, you are a bloody disgrace! For missing the target from there, you want bloody shooting!
We get in too much of that, and I suggest you shut up and show more football.
Happiness comes with insight.
I'm a little bit of an idealist.
I'm a good socialist.
I do believe in fairies.
I'm a good dad.
And that is my, you know, outlook.
I'm happy.
Okay, smash it.
Give us a kiss.
Welcome back. So we're talking to Mr. Pat Nevin. Hi, Pat. How you doing?
Not too bad. I thought you had the wrong music for a minute there.
Never.
I wonder if anyone's getting to know this tune yet.
Slowly but surely. Is that a little mini fire you've put in beside yourself there?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not for effect. Okay. It's damn freezing over here. Trust me, absolutely. Actually, I've not thawed out from the game I was at on Sunday. It was absolutely Baltic in Wolverhampton, so right. I just need to stay warm at the moment.
How was that, Pat? How was the game? How was that?
Surprising. I'd gone with, I hadn't seen Wolves playing in the flesh this season, nor Huddersfield either, and I have to say I wasn't holding great expectations, but, you know, expecting to see some lovely play for Wolves, they were hopeless. Hmm. They were absolutely hopeless. Massive big build-up, great. The stadium was mobbed. It was really good, really up for it. And they were poor as poor can be. But you got to put a lot of that down to Huddersfield, who, you know, they're not always the most exciting team. And I watched them, I went to see them quite a few times last season. I was seriously disappointed by one thing more than anything else last season. Kevin, I don't know if you've seen much of them either on your travels, but
I did, yeah.
I thought they were a better team than their manager let them be.
Yeah.
They were so negative, so defensive. I thought, actually, if you get some good players there, let them go. Well, they got let go in this one. I tell you what, they looked really good. I was really impressed with them.
So we were hoping you might give us an outsider's perspective on our new arrangement at international level, Mick McCarthy followed by Stephen Kenny. I know you've been looking into it and getting a sense for how it's all going to work. What do you make of it?
Well, the concept of having, you know, somebody ready to step in, you know, that's not unknown. It's not unusual. I mean, the similar things have been done in the past. However, it is fraught with massive dangers, which everybody must know about. I mean, what happens if it goes brilliantly well? What happens if it goes terribly awfully? In the meantime, in these 2 years, you know, you've already got Mick in there for the 2 years. You know, anything could happen in that period of time. You know, we all suspect Stephen Kenny will be waiting for it. He'll be desperate to get that job, which we know he's always wanted that job. But, you know, trying to guess what's going to happen in 2 years' time, you know, if you look at it from the point of view of the FAI, I suppose, it is, right, you want to make sure that Stephen Kenny gets a job. He's got a bit of time to have a look around, 2 years, what the necessities are for the job. He will be working with the youth team and developing those players and seeing what he can bring forward. So it's like an apprenticeship for 2 years. I mean, that's all fair and well. it's just that football doesn't always work like that. So I understand what they were allegedly trying to do without being cynical about it. But the likelihood is something will go amiss in the meantime. Mm. And there was a quote I heard from Mick McCarthy, and I know he was having a bit of a laugh, a bit of a joke about it when you're trying to explain it to people. But when he said he would like to, you know, stay on with a laugh and a joke if things were going well and take Ireland all the way through to the World Cup, you're thinking, no, don't say that. Mm. that's exactly the last thing you want to actually hear in that situation. So it's one of those things where if it all goes well, you know, they'll be seen as geniuses. You know, well done, this is a fantastic plan. But how often does that happen in football, and how many things change in the meantime?
And strategically, they've backed themselves into a corner. They've no options. If Mick does outstandingly well, if something goes badly wrong with Stephen Kenny and the underage setup, if somebody else comes along who's very interested in the job, like, I mean, the best example I can think of might be a Chris Hughton, who potentially, you know, football is a strange thing, burns himself out at Brighton and takes 6 months off and then is available and would love to work for Ireland and arguably is a fantastic CV. Any number of things. You may still then turn around and say, after all that, we're still going to give it to Stephen Kenny. However, why would you give yourself zero options? They have given themselves no wiggle room. You use the word cynicism. You use the word cynicism. I think cynicism might be applicable here. The CEO of the FAI was under a lot of pressure last week.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And to be honest, they have backed themselves into a corner, but only a financial one. It's a contract. A contract's a contract. It can be broken either side. Mm. It'll cost you some money to break that contract either side. But that's the financial corner that the Brit put themselves in. Now, you then have to look closely at the FAI's finances and where they actually stand just now. I would suspect not fantastic.
Correct.
After having to let go the previous two. So I think that must have cost a few quid, and even to get them in the first place. So, you know, but there is that option that, you know, we all know in football, you know, a contract is fine, but, you know, it can and will be broken by both sides if it suits either side. So, yeah, they're in a corner, and yeah, they've said what your plan is for the next 2 years. It's unusual to do that. You must have massive belief in what you have planned ahead, or else you've just panicked in a moment, you know, when you thought, well, wait a minute, I don't see any way out of this. Mm. Because clearly they wanted Stephen, a lot of people wanted Stephen to get the job long term. But they weren't willing to take that chance short term because obviously, I mean, he's in the League of Ireland. We remember over in Scotland here, he had that period of time at Dunfermline, although a lot of people will say, you know, the team get relegated in his time there. But he done a phenomenal job over here. So he is highly rated at a certain level. Mm. But to be trusted at international level from the get-go, well, that would have been a big call even on its own.
Yeah.
I have to say, though, Joe, I've just seen the worst miss. I don't think you'll see a worst miss ever. Matt Ritchie has just missed an absolute sitter for Newcastle. Ridiculously, I mean, Pat, ridiculously bad. It's incredible how he's missed it. He's 3 yards out, ever so slight angle, and he put it wide of the post. It's an unbelievable miss. Absolutely unbelievable. Newcastle 2 and up at the moment, but that is an unbelievable miss.
See, the important thing is timing, isn't it? You miss it when it's not important. Now, if you're playing for your national team and you miss one of them, that would be annoying for Matt Ritchie and some of us.
Yeah. I didn't want to rub it in. He's a Scotsman either, Pat, to be quite honest with you. No.
I don't mind if he misses it for Newcastle. As long as we're in a high here in Scotland. We've actually managed to qualify for the next stage of the Nations League, much of our shocks, but... No, that sounds like a stinker. I've got it upstairs recording just now, so I'm going to have a good look at it afterwards. Oddly enough, it's quite surprising that it's still 2-1 just now, isn't it? The Newcastle, and great hopes for them in, you know, this season, but it's been really, really dull. And looking at the way they're playing just recently, you know, they should be good enough to get out of it. But I keep on looking down at the bottom of that league, and everybody should be good enough to get out of it, and they ain't at the moment. Mm. It looks like that bottom six or seven are going to be stuck there for the whole season. We're getting off the subject of Ireland just now, but it's a real... From the outside, to be honest, it looks a bit of a mess, right?
Oh, it looks worse from the inside. No, it looks worse from the inside, honestly. It's one of the worst strategic decisions I think I've ever seen.
Unless it works.
It works in spite of itself. It may well work, but I mean, they need Mick McCarthy to go to the Euros for the good of Irish football and do quite well, but not too well. Yeah. This is a bizarre logic they've created for themselves.
Quite simple final word on it.
Yeah.
If Mick had come in and said, look, I've only got 2 years to give you, the whole thing makes sense.
Totally.
Yeah.
But
totally
I don't
different
think that's the case.
No. Mick wanted more than that. He admitted as much, but he said this was all that was on offer, so fair enough. And Stephen Kenny was offered the 21's job, allegedly, reportedly, and kind of alluded to that today, but 21's on his own wasn't enough for him to leave Dundalk, so here we are. I'm sure you watched Spurs 3, Chelsea 1 with interest. Much of the post-match talk there is about Kante, something you brought up, funny enough, at the very start of the season. Maybe it came home to roost a little bit at Wembley?
Yeah, and it tends to come home to roost at Wembley because the last time that it happened exactly the same way was the first game of the season for Chelsea. They played against Manchester City, Community Shield, and precisely the same thing happened again. Kante was left being a peripheral figure and, you know, Jorginho was... You know, it was crowded, didn't get any space, didn't get any time. And, you know, all the decisions came from there. Now, with that amount of dependency, as we've said, I've said many times before on Jorginho, he better be great all of the time or most of the time anyway. Thing is, he has been pretty good most of the time. And it is one of those ones where you're thinking, you know, has this failed? Well, wait a minute. One defeat so far in the league season for Chelsea and they're doing okay in the Europa League, etc. So, you know, it's not time for them to panic. There's no time for knee-jerk reactions. They're just playing against a top four side. Even Sarri himself has said his players didn't play particularly well. But if you throw everything out now, you know, just after one defeat, even though it was bad and people didn't play well. And the reason why I'm kind of slightly more hesitant than a lot of people who are quick to jump in on this one, I watched Liverpool try to do the same thing to Jorginho. And he found a way around it against Liverpool.
Right.
And it was really clever the way he found a way around it. He didn't find a way around it against a quality side like Spurs. With players around them not playing well. I think there will be adaptations made there for Chelsea because it is a one system, a simple one system. You look at most of the other teams apart from Manchester City, they will adapt systems for different situations. At the moment, Chelsea don't look as if they're wanting to do that. But one defeat so far in the season, maybe they don't quite need to do it yet, but they'll need to keep an eye on it. Whereas Spurs, I thought Spurs were brilliant.
Just on that Jorginho one there, just interesting after the game, Dele Alli has spoken about the specific role that he had on Jorginho. He said he's obviously a very good player, he likes getting the ball, we knew that, we thought we could stop it, we wanted to win the ball high up the pitch so I was as close to him as possible. So when we won the ball, I could break off him. Do you think that is... You mentioned racing to Liverpool when they couldn't stop that. But I thought having that particular job for Dele Alli where he was just locked onto him, trying to get him on the wrong side. Obviously, he didn't have the influence he'd been having on the ball, but he looked badly exposed. You saw the lack of pace that he had on the Son goal as well. Do you think that's a way to stop Chelsea now, Pat, that you can actually put a specific man, you know, you know the way we would do it, a number 10, but playing the wrong side of him. So you're trying to lock onto him from the wrong side.
Well, we watched, it was one matter, tried to do it. Firmino come back and done it, tried to do it and wasn't able to do it. Phil Foden did it and did it brilliantly. So they're all trying to do it. It's clearly the way to do it. And it just becomes a battle of who's the better in that situation. The lack of pace thing really jumps out at us. You know, there are certain leagues that you can maybe get away with a certain lack of pace in certain positions. I don't know if there is a position you can get away with lack of pace because he is not quick at all. I mean, he's not even averagely paced for a professional footballer. He's below that. So there is that weakness. But on the other hand, to many players, do you know, in world football just now who can completely dominate games? But this isn't new. I can remember playing against Tottenham Hotspur and us trying to do the same to Glenn Hoddle. You know, when he was playing a little bit deeper, you stop that guy playing. Glenn wasn't quick, but he still managed to be able to play the game. The one simple thing, and you'll know it, and anybody who's played football will know it, if you're a good enough and a clever enough player most of the time, if two or three people are trying to rush you and you're quick enough, and not quick enough in your mind, I mean, not quick enough as in sprinting, you can drag them towards you, then play a ball off. You have now got an advantage because three players are on you and they've pushed up and you can actually beat that. I don't know if you watched earlier this season, last season, Manchester City getting the same thing when a couple of teams tried to go and rush them. So instead of playing out, they did actually miss out the midfield a couple of times. And that was the opposition stuff. It's an arms race.
Yeah.
And at the moment, you know, Chelsea lost that one and they have got some concerns. But don't quite write Jorginho off yet. I wouldn't be doing that yet. The bigger problem is trying to get the best out of Kantu, and that's incredibly hard just now, because I don't think there is a position where you can get the best out of him other than the sitting midfielder or one of two sitting midfielders. And the obvious thing most of us would go for would be, all right, let's just make it a 4-2-3-1. I mean, that's so obvious, it's blinding. However, the effect that tends to have is gets your two wide players a little bit deeper. And that's where Chelsea have been really strong this year, because Hazard in particular has been fantastic pushing up. So, you know, it's a piece of string, isn't it?
Yeah.
As soon as you move one bit, the rest moves around it.
Pat, unfortunately with everything going on here, we're a bit tight for time this evening, so we'll have to pick it up again with you next Monday. We had to fit in Nick McCarthy earlier on.
One last line I'd love to say to Kev, if that's okay. I have finally caught up with your Phil Billing stuff. I've watched him for the first time at the weekend. He will not be playing outside the top four in the Premier League next season.
Yes, interesting. Okay. Philip Billing from Huddersfield.
We'll start the conversation next Monday with that then, because I don't know much about him. So let's do that next Monday. Thanks a million, Pat. Sorry, a bit short tonight.
Well done, Pat.
That's Pat Nevin with us every Monday, and we will pick up on that point about Billing next Monday. Well, I should mention, and it's Newcastle 2, Burnley 1 with an hour gone, that we are going to talk to Leon Blanche from our sponsor, Boyle Sports, in a second about the Champions League action this week. And in the course of the discussion, we will be referring to betting odds and gambling. So if that is not your thing, then you can absolutely switch over now. And remember, gamble sensibly. For more, you can check out gambleaware.ie, or you can visit dunlewy.net, dunlewy.net. Back in just a sec.
Yard of grass. He'll give you a move for the perfect pass.